Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
And we welcome you into this edition. This is Dave Cole, along with social media whiz Scott Winteroth. We've got a lot of great things to talk with you about today, so welcome aboard, Scott.
Dave, hey, welcome. Again, good to hear from you. And always, I know that you've been scouring the news for what's happening in the latest and greatest in real estate marketing. So I hear you've got something about Peoria. How about giving us a little update on what's going on there?
All right. The expression, if it plays in Peoria, as in Peoria, Illinois, except this time it's the other way around. So we've got, there was a story in the news, and there's always these a lot of research being done and comparisons. And so there was a comparison in terms of kind of the real estate market and the economy and things like that, comparing communities. And out of 300 similar communities around the country, Peoria ranked 297th. And so it's this article is basically saying, and we'll put it up on the website for the podcast. So the point of the article is, oh, how it doesn't compare to the top cities on the list, and almost like saying, who would want to live in Peoria? And that's where the story came out. And so if you're an agent in Peoria, and chances are a lot of you are not, but that really isn't the point. It's kind of you need to be prepared for if and when some type of negative publicity comes out, because that could affect your farm area. That could impact your job. And so along that point, and this could probably be a topic for a future podcast, I think it's a good idea for those of you listening to be able to take a look at that link and the story with these things in mind, that what that means is you kind of need to turn that around, or it's the marketing expression of turning a negative into a positive. And so, for example, if this happened, it's twisting or adjusting the facts in your favor. For example, the population of Peoria is between 100 and 200,000, but, and that's kind of the basis of comparison, but it could also be pointed out that, or if you were going to respond to this, it could be kind of turned around to say that, hey, out of the whole country, Peoria made the top 300 of this list, comparing the economy and, you know, livability and all those things, and make it a positive. And you could point out that the state of Illinois, if this was in Illinois or your state, or get these statistics, but in the case of fighting it for Peoria, Illinois, Illinois has 212 cities with the population between 10,000 and 100,000. And so that's just one state. And granted, that's a statistic for a lower population, but people don't research these things. So you could point out, wow, Peoria made this list of the top 300 in the whole country in these categories. Just in Illinois alone, there's 212 cities between 10,000 and 100,000, and make this like, wow, just, and put it out the next day, the next morning, just to kind of counteract. So if somebody heard this article and they're going, uh-oh, don't know if I want to live or move to Peoria, the next morning they're hearing it with a positive slant, and that's going to stick. And the analogy I'm going to use, which is something that's been kind of, a pet peeve of mine, but it's something that bugs me all the time, and this is what relates to everybody, is that the realty associations put out the home sales statistics and pricing and everything pretty much on a monthly basis, and that's fine. That's what they're supposed to do. But what gets me is that if 800 homes sell in Peoria, just to use that as an example, and then the next month, 720 homes sell, the realty associations will put out, oh, home sales are down 10% in Peoria. And to me, it has the same effect. I mean, I guess their thinking is that people would say, oh, it's a good chance to sell, but they all seem to overlook the effect that these kind of statistics have on consumers outside of the area. they hear that and they think, oh, home sales are down 10% in Peoria in just a month. Wow, it must not be as desirable of an area. Something must have happened, and it leaves them with a negative connotation. Whereas, if you just said, hey, Peoria, over 1,500 homes have sold just in the last 2 months, now you've turned it into a positive. So I think that's what's to be gained from this particular story, and something that, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about at one of the podcasts down the line. So I think that that's something. And obviously around the country, for those communities that did come up in the top 10 or the top 20, then there you go. Take that story and put it out yourself, because it's a great promotion for your farm area. So, Scott, that's what's on my mind this morning. And I know we want to get into about mobile websites, because it's something that there's a lot of people out there, especially the agents with their own page or their own website, thinking, why do I need to redo this for mobile? I can read it on my phone. So I know you've got some things to kind of get all of us thinking.
Yeah, well, yeah, interesting points to bring up about the Peoria article. And thanks for sharing. And the other thing is just, I want to mention, this is sort of in follow-up to the last episode that we did, episode number 12, regarding recent changes that are sort of happening with Google. And the last one that I wanted to bring up was mobile indexing, what's called mobile first indexing. And this is a sort of algorithm change within the Google search results that indicates Google is now looking to crawl your website from a mobile version first. So if you don't have a solid mobile phone experience for your website, meaning that the website doesn't sort of respond or doesn't load fast on a mobile device, then Google may consider that as part of its rank factor when it comes to, you know, placing your website within the organic search results. And this isn't necessarily something new. I mean, Google has made rank changes and algorithm changes many times over the last decade or so. But you maybe have even gotten an email if you are in the Google Search Console or Google Webmaster Tools and have your website listed as part of the Webmaster Center. You might have even received an email recently from Google saying that your website is now part of the mobile first ranking factor. So it's sort of complicated because it's an algorithmic, you know, compilation or compilation of how Google sort of classifies or calculates your website's status. But and on the other sort of, like, if you think about it, though, it's really not that technical, because it's basically what it's saying is that it just means that Google is looking at your website as if it was a mobile user, if somebody was actually looking up your website on your mobile phone. And this may or may not increase or decrease your current search rankings. But I think what it should do is everyone really needs to sort of take time to think about what would the user experience of their clients or of their prospects think if they landed on your website with just their mobile phone. Because let's face it, everyone's using their mobile devices today. And that's something that you have to, you know, and not to mention your agent business or your real estate business is competing with people who are using mobile apps or using other competitors' apps. So you want to make sure that you are doing everything you can to have a mobile optimized website. And there are some things that are more technical in terms of how to make your website more mobile optimized. One is probably the most sort of prevalent one is making sure that your website is what we call responsive, meaning that if you look at the website on your desktop, on a desktop computer, but then you also look at it on a mobile phone, the website will literally respond to the size of the screen. So a lot of times that means that if elements are sort of horizontally positioned on the desktop, maybe there's three in a row, three across. On a mobile phone, those three across might actually be three that are in a column. So having a responsive website, making sure that the website loads fast on a mobile phone, and making sure that you are doing everything you can to sort of serve the right type of content and the right type of information that is most important to a mobile phone user, Like, for example, that might mean having a phone number more prevalent on the homepage because people are more likely to hit call versus fill out a contact form on their phone, you know, because it's much easier just to hit the phone number than it would be to fill out a contact form of 6 or 7 lines, you know, kind of thing. So basically just doing a lot of that stuff to kind of making sure it's optimized for mobile and really, you know, taking time to understand what a mobile user would expect when they come to your website. So yeah, that's the biggest thing that's coming up with Google in terms of organic search or free search.
Scott, does this involve, in effect, duplicating your website? Because I know in some cases it would say for, you know, using us as an example, mm-hmm. it might say m.scottanddave.com or whatever the site mm-hmm. might be, as opposed to the 3 W's or just the HTTP, and that's when it's intended for mobile. So is that something that we need to be aware of in preparing for this scenario?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, one thing I want to say too is that this doesn't necessarily mean you have to panic. Like, the sky's not falling per se. This is just one thing that is current, sort of something we need to be cognizant about when we are determining our web experience for users and making sure that we're doing everything we can to provide a great user experience. But that being said, there's a couple ways, sort of to answer your question, there's a couple ways you can deploy a mobile website. One would be having like sort of a, as I mentioned, a responsive website. So for example, if you go to the desktop version of the website and then you go to a mobile, you go to that same website, same URL on a mobile phone, the website is the same thing. It's just has sort of restructured itself to fit within the mobile phone screen. Another way that we've done in the past with certain type of scenarios is where you have a different website, but it redirects to like a mobile only version, a separate domain.
Okay.
Which, you know, sometimes you may or may not want to do that. I actually really recommend having more of a responsive website, but having a separate mobile version can be an option in some scenarios where it may be just too difficult to have a responsive website. But it can be done, and Google will recognize both versions. So yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not to plug myself as always, but definitely good to sort of talk with a strategist, digital strategist, who can kind of help you navigate those decisions to making sure you're doing the right thing.
Okay, Scott, how does this affect, or does this impact? So if I'm an agent and I have on my site, and then I have a separate web page for each of the 5 listings I currently have. So do I need to be aware of this for each web page? So in other words, if somebody's on their phone looking at the house on, you know, 123 Western Avenue, do they need to have these same features, or how does that work when they go to a page within the site?
Yeah, a great question. Normally you'd want this to be global. So depending on how your websites are set up, if you have multiple websites, like multiple domains, and they're all running separate like websites, then you would have to make sure each one of those websites is compliant with this mobile first indexing. You know, a lot of people though, they have just one website and they use separate pages for maybe their listings. So that would be all sort of part of the same site structure that we're talking about.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. All right, what else do we need to be aware of then as far as on the technical side? Many of us are not technical whizzes. We have to have somebody do it, or we pay somebody by the hour. Not all of us have the big, you know, web companies that are advertising on national TV and that type of thing. So, and also we don't want to pay for any more than we need to and be, you know, taken to the cleaners, like every inch of every page has to be mobile compliant. So what are some of the key things that we should either do or ask for depending on our situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the very first thing that I would recommend, and I'm happy to put a link into the show notes on the podcast page, but is to do a test. Google actually has a tool to that you can put your website into, and it will give you feedback on if your website is mobile compliant or not. And if it comes up mobile ready or mobile okay, then that would be a good indicator that you're probably on in the clear, right, for this time being. If it comes up not mobile compliant, then that might be an opportunity to, one, look at the feedback that Google will provide you, and maybe you can make some small tweaks there. Or it might be an opportunity to discuss maybe potentially a redesign or work with someone to help you make those fixes. It could maybe just be a small tweak here and there that could ultimately change your entire search engine presence, which would for the better, for the positive. So it's good to check that. It's sort of a long link, so you kind of want to make sure that I don't want to say it on the air because it's long, but I will add the link to the show notes and how to get to that tool for testing your website's mobile friendliness.
Yeah, you know, this is not specific to real estate, but just as a point, because I know some of the agents that they're like, well, I have this guy that helps me or this company that helps me, and I don't always know what, you know, if I trust them, and there are people in that situation. So just as an idea, if you go through and you use the Google test tool that you, Scott, just talked about, mm-hmm. and then it tells you, here's what you need to do, then go ahead and maybe email or call or request from your current web provider and say, hey, what do you think about going mobile? What do you think we need? Mm-hmm. You know, what recommendations do you have? And compare what they say to what Google told you. So this way you could actually use this, because not that many people know about the Google test tool yet. You could use this to kind of like say, hey, are they selling me only what they need to? Are they legitimate? It's kind of like getting, you know, three or four estimates before you get major work done on your car, and you see the differences and who's telling you what. So just something that I thought about as you were saying that. Again, that's not, you know, specific just to real estate. But again, this is all very important, because chances are your website, and that's you as in the audience, that's a very important, if not the most important part of what you're doing for your marketing. So you can be the greatest property lister and have sold the most properties and have all these accomplishments, but you've got to be able to communicate that as efficiently or more efficiently than everyone else out there. And this is all a part of that. So that's why, again, I'm thinking that, you know, it's worth spending the time to go over this. So is there anything else we need to be aware of on this, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is working with a really solid partner. And again, this isn't really a plug for myself, but just in general, and that most really good internet marketers or digital strategists or even web developers will try to be ahead of the game on this. You want to make sure that you know, Google does a pretty good job of sort of educating people on what they should be doing with their websites before Google actually makes a change. And working with someone who sort of keeps an eye on what's going on can sort of help prevent, like, you know, it can be proactive versus being reactive. And if like any business, it's good to be proactive rather than trying to come back and fix something that's already happened. So yeah, just being ahead of the game is always the best way to be. And listening to this podcast is one way to stay ahead of the game. So that's all I have to say, Dave.
All right. That sounds like a great way to wrap up this edition. Yep. We've got so many more topics coming up, but that will do it for this one. So we will let everybody go. And don't forget to check on the on our site, on our podcast notes, for the Google link and also the Peoria story. So you can take all this with you and go from there. So thank you very much, Scott. And that'll do it for this edition.
All right, Dave, that sounds great. Listen, that's another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to head on over to our website at davecole.com to learn more about our past episodes and to learn more about marketing for real estate in various aspects. Please subscribe to our podcast on Apple iTunes or Google Play or any podcatcher service of your choice. And if you like what you're hearing and you think we've got some good ideas for you, please leave a rating on the podcast. That really helps us reach new people, and we really appreciate it. That's a wrap for this week. Bye for now.